are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and loving Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy word this morning, believing, O God, that it's your word, and that within your word, O God, there's rapture and faith. So help us, Father, as we enter in to that rapturing faith in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Wednesday night we began our mini-series within our study of Brother Bram's sermon, It is the Rising of the Sun. And we began to look at the thought that there is a seed for every season. We saw Brother Branham speak on the seeds that were in the earth in paragraph 20 of the Rising of the Sun, and he talked about how that they had to wait until there came a predestined light to bring a light to those predestined seeds. From the Rising of the Sun, Brother Branham said, the first time that the sun rose in Genesis, it was bringing a message that there will be life upon the earth, mortal life. But this time when the sun rose, there was a dual sun rising. Another sun rising. It was not only a sun, S-U-N, rising, it was a S-O-N, had risen to bring eternal life to all God's promised seed, that by foreknowledge he's seen laying upon the earth. No more could the bodily life live back there at the beginning without the S-U-N to bring it to life, no more than today when these sons of God is upon the earth to take the S-O-N light to bring them to eternal life. His chosen ones that he knew before the foundations of the world. He had chosen them in himself before the foundations of the world. And on Easter morning, then, in this dirt somewhere, laid our bodies at that time, for we are now the dust of the earth, and in heaven there was a book of memory, and his attributes was in him, knowing that because this S-O-N of God raised, it would also raise to life every son that was foreordained to this great time. He knew it would be, and what a more glorious sunrise that was than it was at the beginning, at the time when it first dawned. We broke down the thoughts of the seed for a season and the seed for a seed, season for a seed into five stages. Number one, there's a seed for every season. This we spoke on last week and showed you how quite a few quotes in scriptures concerning this. From the sermon, Trying to Do God a Service Without Being His Will, Brother Branham said, he reveals it in his seasons because it is a seed, and as it grows and matures, he reveals himself. And from his sermon, there is a man here that can turn on the light. He said, now his seed was already in the earth because he planted it there. Now he needed light to bring forth that seed, to make that seed live, because the seed was already there. Just like it is in each age, God has foretold us what would take place in each age. The only thing he needs is the manifestation of the light of God upon that scripture to make it live for that age. And it will do it as long as the light can get to the word. And if the word germinates, it'll make it live if it's a promise for that day. You might plant wheat at one time or grain at another time. Some come slower than other because it depends on the season. God's word comes in a season. The long grace and so forth as we went down through the ages, and each time it's lit up by manifestation of the light, spreading forth the light that's in the seed. So we see here several quotes, just refreshing your memory, where Brother Ram talks about there is a seed for a season. Now notice once again, Brother Bram lets us know that there are seeds for certain seasons, and the seed life is dependent upon the right season to manifest what seed life is in the seed. Again from a sermon, Thirsting for Life, Brother Branham said, but just as sure as that sunshine begins to bathe the earth and the season's right, and the season's right, that seed's got life in it. And you can't hide life. It'll work its way over those grains of concrete till it comes out, so it can lift up its little head and praise God, and you just can't hide life. That's the reason if you've got eternal life, they may bury you in the sea or cremate your body, but you'll live again when Jesus comes. There's no way to keep you down. You can't hide real life. And at the resurrection season, all the predestined seed of God with eternal life in them will come up right on time. The season is only for a specified time, and during that specified time, all the predestined sons and daughters of God will come forth in the resurrection that have been planted in death. But there is another season where we are to look for, and that's the harvest season, where sons and daughters of God are to manifest as sons and daughters of God, and that are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. In other words, if there is a seed for every season, and there's a season, and we know that we're approaching the resurrection season, we're already coming out of the shout season, we're going to move into the resurrection season, there's got to be a seed that'll catch that season and come alive that season. Now you might ask, what are you talking about, preacher? And the answer is, as many as God foreordained be conformed to the image of the firstborn son will be there. In Romans 8:29, he said, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." So we have to ask yourself, okay, when is this for? It is for a specific season. Now, many people want to put it off to the millennium. It's now. I mean, to show you. So when will this happen? It happens at the harvest time during the latter rain when sons of God come to maturity as sons. It is to happen before the adoption or placing of sons takes place, because these sons that are predestinated must be conformed to the image of the firstborn son in order to be positionally placed in the family and ready for adoption. The Apostle Paul told us in Romans 8:15, "For you have not received the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the spirit of adoption is not the adoption itself, but the spirit of adoption is the Holy Spirit in us that makes us sons, and we are sons when we are born again, but we must be the right kind of a son in order to become adopted sons." And we've gone over that many, many times. That is what Brother Brown taught us in his 18 sermons on Hear Ye Him. And we know that Jesus was the right kind of a son because he was an obedient son, and he is a pattern for all sons. So we're looking at the time when sons of God will come into the very image of the firstborn son, and that will be before the adoption and placing of sons takes place. And Paul taught us our adoption is when we receive our change of the body. That's Romans 8:23. And not only that, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it. That means which is the redemption of the body. So Paul says, look, it's culminated when we get the body changed. It's like getting a new coat. All right? Now listen to this quote from Brother Bram's Hear Ye Him, because he explains how that Jesus was the right kind of a son. And then after explaining that he tells us that is the way that we must also be for our placing as sons. He says, "Now you see, Jesus had proven to God that he'd been the right kind of a son. And God took him up on the top of the mountain, brought witnesses out there, heavenly witnesses and earthly witnesses, and he clothed him in immortality. When they looked up, they said his garment shined like the sun." A supernatural something had taken place. His garment glistened like the sun in its middle of the day, as white as it could be, and God placed on him the robe of immortality, showing that he had received him. That's the thing that God will do to his sons here on earth someday. He will call you aside, church, if you'll only obey him and stay on the word and believe it. And he will place into the church, before the coming of Jesus Christ, he will place into the church all the powers that Christ had in him will be in the church. Now listen, will be, he's prophesied here, will be in the church. All that God was, he poured into Jesus. All that Jesus was, he poured into the church. God wanting his work done, he sent it into his son. The son wanting the work done, sent it into the church. And at that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father, me, I knew you and me. At that day, because the same power of God was in Jehovah God, and it rested in Jesus Christ. The same power that rested in Jesus Christ rests in the placed sons in the body of Christ. So this is to take place before the end of the harvest season. Now listen, all you have to do is to read the entire 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and you'll see the order for the last season. The harvest season, when all this is to take place, and unless you have the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelling in you, you will not be a partaker of this end time harvest season. Now, I know people want to put this off until the millennium, but Brother Branham said it is promised for us now. And he further stated, we won't need it in the millennium. In explaining healing in Jairus, Brother Ram said, the devil's just trying to scare you out of something. He's trying to put something off somewhere else. You say, well, some of these days, you'll be this. You are now. Now we're sons of God. Now we're seated together in heavenly places. Now we have all powers in heaven and earth. See? Now we have it. Not in the millennium. We won't need it then. We got it now. Right now, we are the sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be, but we know that we'll be like him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who he called, he justifies. Is that right? Those who he justified, He has glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Wasn't that deep? All right. We'll find out whether that's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are there is a reflection, or here. What we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from. You know where your other body is waiting. Now I'd like to ask you, how many preachers are you hearing these thoughts from? How many preachers in the message are teaching this and getting the people ready? How many tape listeners are talking about this? But he said it. And why don't they talk about it? Because they don't believe it. Or else they would be talking about it. Now, from his sermon, Expectation and What of Love, Brother Brown said, now, if he hasn't got the Holy Spirit in there, he's got nothing but just his mind to rest on it. So he just can't comprehend the things of God. He doesn't know them. The natural mind can't understand the things of God. They're foolish unto him. Now, the reason why I put Brother Branham's words here in red is because he's quoting Scripture. You see, that wasn't Brother Branham's words. That was the words of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, or not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now Brother Brown continues, now the Pentecostal or full gospel you are, the one that I find that's one of the greatest hindrances among us, is that you're trying to place the things of God yet to come when you're right in the middle of it now. Isn't that what we've heard for the last few years? That's right. Now you say, just wait till some, well, that could be in the millennium where we won't need any healings and things. That's the next age to be issued in. Now we're in the Holy Ghost age. Now you are sons of God. Now we're seated together in heavenly places. Not will be, we are now. This afternoon, right here, now, sons and daughters of God, seated together in heavenly places in Christ. There we are. See, all things are possible then. And from a sermon, Water from the Rock, Brother Brown said, now, when they entered into that land, when the manna ceased to fall, a very beautiful type as the Holy Spirit falling today, which is the manna from heaven, the day that we enter the millennium, Christ, the Son of David, will sit on David's throne. Amen. Won't need any Holy Spirit then, because Christ will be here himself in a form, in a body form, as King Jesus. Then all the nations are sure going to beat their plowshares, or their pruning, or swords into plowshares, and the war is over then, going to have some rest around here. Now listen, some people actually believe Brother Branham is going to sit on the throne of David for 1,000 years. And that's false doctrine. Well, you say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Because I've talked to them. There are people who won't sit under a fivefold ministry because these are tape-only people. Yet they fill their minds with their own thoughts. And this is the problem. I've been saying it over and over again. This is the problem you have when you have people that will not listen to any fivefold minister, and they will listen only to the tapes. Now, I think you should listen to the tapes every day. But you also need a fivefold ministry. Because what's happening is people, they sit back and they listen to it almost like it's music. They're not really listening to hear. They're listening to soothe. There's an atmosphere there. And they plug into that atmosphere to soothe. But they're not plumbing into that what is being said. It's not registering with them. There are people who won't sit under a fivefold ministry because, well, anyway, what they say is there is only one voice of God to this generation. And I will say amen to that. But then they say that Brother Branham is that voice, and I say, well, just a minute. You had better know what you're talking about. It's like Brother Brown said, you can say Jesus is God and Jesus is not God and be right. You can say, well, Brother Brown was the voice of God to us in this generation. You could be right. But if you say that that voice is not in a fivefold ministry or in the people of God, you're wrong. There's one voice because there's one body. I'm going to show you. The Apostle Paul said there is one spirit, one body, and everyone who is baptized with that same spirit is part of that one body. The body of Christ is not made up of one member. Paul also said in Hebrews 5 and 12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink." Now look, the oracles of God comes from the Greek word logion, and it speaks of the utterance of God or the voice of God. That's what the definition is in the Greek word logion. And that means that all who are in that one body with that one spirit become the very voice of God, one voice because there is one body. Peter told us in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man, what does any suggest? More than one. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, as the voice of God. Let him speak as the voice of God. If any minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And God's vindicated prophet said in a sermon, spoken words, original seed. He said, now notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until the Father or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ, John 5:19. So will the bride. Now the bride is not one person. So will the bride, and he shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death, for if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now we got a great big hallelujah. Now here is the secret. The word is in the bride, and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. She has, thus saith the Lord. Then it is germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves his purpose. They do only his will. Amen. I'll believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have, thus saith the Lord, and they keep still. Then they will do the works of God, for it is himself in them, it's all plural, continuing his word to fulfill as he did, complete in his day. All things when he was here, he did not complete all when he was here, for it was not time yet. A lot of people want to place the voice only in a prophet. And if it stays only in the prophet, then it's not in the people. And if it's not in the people are dead. And they don't have the Holy Ghost. They're not born into this. They're not baptized into the same family. They're not in the one body. The whole thing. There's one voice, and it's got to echo out of many member body. If there's no echo, that voice is dead. You understand? So to place it in one man and say, there's only one voice, and throw the fivefold ministry out, they're throwing out the perfecting, the maturing of the saints. Therefore, whether it be God's prophet or someone who is perfectly echoing the words that went forth from that prophet, it is the same voice if it is the same spirit. Now, I know there are people that won't believe that, but that is the truth. Just like Brother Bell told me, he said, Brian, there are people who are saying that when I am gone, teaching will be over, but that is wrong, because the Holy Spirit is a teacher, and as long as the Holy Ghost is in the earth, there will be teaching because he is the teacher. And that is what the voice of God said. If we believe the Bible is the voice of God. Now listen. Jesus said, he that heareth my voice and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, right? Alright, and knoweth it not, Brother Brown said, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And this is the voice of God in letter form. That's what he's saying. This is the voice of God in letter form. Because this is the entire revelation of Jesus Christ, Old and New Testament, put together. So I'm just telling you there's a danger for people to just say, well, I'm going to just not listen to any fivefold minister. I'm going to the source. I'm going to Brother Branham. And let me just tell you something. Had it not been God using a teacher, Brother Vail, we would not have understood the difference between the appearing and coming. Brother Brown said it, but it went over the people's heads. Brother McHugh tried to bring that out back in 67, Brother Bell said. But then didn't continue on with it. And the problem is that people don't want that. They want to always look back. Or they're always looking forward, like they're thinking Joseph is going to become an ace messenger of some sort. And they're failing to recognize what God is doing right now. If you are walking in the light, as present tense, he is in the light, then you're focused on right now. What is God doing in my life right now? what's happening in my life. What is God doing right now? I want to be part of that. But if you're looking back, you might as well be a Lutheran, because they're looking back too, or Wesley. They're looking back too. You see, they're focusing on the wrong thing. They're focusing on the vessel. And they're trying to say, the voice is a vessel. The voice has never been a vessel. It's been in vessels. And that's what the voice of God said, if we believe the Bible is the voice of God. From Israel and Egypt, he said, well, they say, I don't need anybody to teach me. Glory to God, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, then the Holy Ghost was wrong when it said that it set some of the church as teachers. God put them in the church as teachers. That settles it. Why do you put teachers in there if the Holy Ghost is going to do all the teaching? Huh? All right. See, what people need is their brains baptized besides their water. That's right. All right. Now, Brother Bell used to quote that all the time. Now, what I'm trying to address to you this morning is namely this. We are to receive an understanding first. That is a part that the true fivefold ministry play in this great drama. They bring the true understanding of the Scripture to our minds. Next, this new understanding creates a desire in our hearts for God's Word. And finally, God sends forth His Word into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is the teacher, and He anoints the understanding in our heart, thus becoming a spiritual revelation. That is why John said in 1 John 2:21, that we have an unction or anointing from the Holy One, that we might know all things. And remember, Jesus said, look, it's given to you to know or to understand my word. But to them it's not given. He said, they see, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't understand. You can sit and listen to those tapes day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. But when God has placed gifts in the church to bring those things out, then it catches your attention, then you know, then you understand. That's why John said in 1 John 2:21 that we have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One that we might know all things. The full purpose of God giving the Holy Ghost is that you might know. Now this revelation then takes over the guiding of our whole body, soul, and spirit, thus perfecting the believer by the washing of water by the Word. So in effect, every fiber of our body is becoming subject to the Word of God, which lives and abides in our hearts, bringing us into captivity to the Word for the day in which we live, and bringing us into subjection to it. Thus, the sacrifice becomes a living sacrifice, not just a mental conception. And as that is actually, it changes the actions done in the body. And the voice of God said in the church, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, for the perfecting of the church. So tell me how you're going to get perfection or mature without the gift God set in the church for that purpose. If you say that you can, then you're adding to the Word and you've got tribulation. And if you take the fivefold gift of God out of the church and say we got one voice and that is William Branham's voice, then you have taken away from the Word of God and you will have your name taken from the Book of Life. In other words, you don't have the Holy Ghost to say something like that. Those are not my words, those are God's words. Ephesians 4:4 says there is one body and one spirit, even as we are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting means maturing, equipping, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith. And remember, there is only one faith because there is only one Lord. And how are you going to come to that unity of that one Lord, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature or the character of the fulfilling of Christ? How are you going to come to that without these gifts that God placed in the church for that purpose? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now listen, there are many, many of these people, I'm not saying all, I'm just saying many of these people who will refuse to listen to a true fivefold ministry, And they say we've got one voice, and that these people believe Brother Branham is going to come back, he's going to speak the resurrection, that he will do it, that he's going to sit on the throne of David for 1,000 years, he's going to rule over the earth. They believe that Brother Branham is going to come back for at least 3.5 years. Yeah, that's what they're saying, 3.5 years. In other words, during the tribulation, there's going to be these meetings going on during the tribulation period. And I tell you what else do they believe? Some believe Brother Branham was God, now Joseph's God. What else do they believe? Some believe Joseph is an ace messenger, although they won't come out and say it. What else do they believe? I'm going to tell you why. Because they refuse that gift that will mature them and bring them to maturity. And you can't listen, if you don't understand what the prophet brought, if you only said God sent a prophet, so did the Pharisees. They said, we got Moses. We don't need you, Jesus. And that's what they're saying. We got William Branham. We don't need any other ministry. And so they've thrown out the word. And God says they don't got the Holy Ghost. Now I ask you, if God said in the church a fivefold gift to bring the church to maturity, then how are you going to bypass that and come to maturity? Just listen to your taste. He said the fivefold gift is not only to bring you to maturity, but will help you to grow up so you don't get enticed by every wind of doctrine. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, health, government, diversities of tongues. From blind Bartimaeus, Brother Branham said, now in the church, he has sent gifts. He's talking about God. Some are apostles, and a missionary, the same word, meaning one sent. Why the missionary only, why they wanted to be called a missionary, I don't know why. Because a missionary and an apostle both means one sent. A missionary are prophets, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. That's the office of the church. And these offices should be alive with the Holy Spirit, not set in by man, but set in by the Holy Spirit in each church. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. These are offices that God set in the church. Man has nothing to do with it. God put them in the church. So if God put them in, where did it tell us in the Bible that God took them out? From blind Bartimaeus, Brother Branham said, and God said in the church first, what? Missionaries or apostles and missionary. As I told you, taught is the same one said. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. God set in the church for the perfecting of the church. That's divine gifts that God ordained and set into the church. See, those are for the perfecting of the church. Jesus speaks through his pastor, speaks through his teacher, speaks through his seer, his prophet, speaks through his missionaries, through the countries and so forth. That's his gifts that he's put in the church. Well, if God is speaking through these fivefold ministry, that isn't that the voice of God? I mean, isn't that what he said? Jesus speaks through them. So he speaks through them, but it's not the voice? Huh? Jesus speaks through his pastor, speaks through his teacher, speaks through his seers, his prophet, speaks through his missionary to countries and so forth. That's his gifts that he has put in the church. Now, that ought to settle that question forever. God set these five gifts in the church for the perfecting, so don't tell me that you can get perfected or mature by denying these five gifts exist, because that's cultish. Yeah. Now, way back from the message, way back, Brother Matt said, but the Holy Spirit in predestination foreordained gifts. God has set in the church not what some elder laid his hands on. God set in the church first apostles, then prophets, and so forth. God set them in there. They're divine gifts foreordained of God. Before Jeremiah the prophet was ever born, God said, I know you before you was even in your mother's belly and ordained you a prophet to the nation before you ever come out of the womb. Is that right? He had nothing to do with it. God does that. He's still God. And from we would see Jesus. He said, I could not do it. I cannot bring him. It takes all of us together to do it. I'm just a part of him and you're a part of him. But if you're sick and needy, I'm your brother and God set in the church. Now there's 9 spiritual gifts goes in each local body, which is tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecies and so forth. But there is 5 predestined offices of the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. That's what God set in the church, the Holy Spirit. That's a office. The Holy Spirit might fall on one tonight and speak in tongues and the other give the prophecy and so forth. And then the next night it might be somebody else and somebody else like that. That's local gifts in the body to keep us straight. But in the church alone, five offices. Apostles means missionaries. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. God set those in the church. Now, let's believe with all our heart that through these ministering gifts that the great God of heaven will send Christ among us tonight, that we'll see Jesus. Let's pray now as we bow our heads. And from the message influence, he said, God said, if a trumpet given an uncertain sound, who will know how to prepare himself for battle? Now, but when the gospel gives a sound, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever, and we watch it and see that it's the truth and it's with the word, that's the thing that influences a real duck. He had been talking about how he quacks and the rest of them follow. Okay. Now, there's others on the pond, like water guineas and so forth. They have another way, mud hens is all such, but they stay their own way. But the real duck goes on, but God placed that little duck there and give him that because God placed him to be that. And now God has set in the church God, not the organization, not the achievement of man to make bishops and so forth, presbyters, but God set in the church first apostles, that's missionaries. Secondary prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. God set them in the church. And every bugle will blow the same gospel. See, if he's a prophet, he'll blow the bugle of a prophet. He foretells the thing that is to come and hits every time. Now, I've shown you where God set them in the church. You show me where God ever took them out. In fact, that's what Brother Branham said himself from the Message Witnesses. He said, now the Bible said that God set in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. He never did say where he set out of the church apostles and prophets. They say, he has still got teachers and evangelists and pastors, but what about prophets and so forth? It's still just the same. God doesn't change. Anyway, getting back to Romans, Paul said in verse 16, the Spirit itself will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. So we see there is a word seed for every season. We just so happen to be in the season where Ephesians 1, 3-4 is to manifest, and where Romans 8:11 and Romans 8:15 and Romans 8:19 and Romans 8:29 are to manifest before the resurrection takes place. In fact, go home and read prayerfully Romans chapter 8, and you'll see the seed for the season in which we are now living. Number two, that seed is a word that God has foreordained for each season that he sends like rain or doctrine to produce the fruit for the season. Number three, when the seed manifests who it is, this manifestation of the seed vindicates that this seed was indeed for the season. Number four, this manifestation of the seed life by being quickened by the word for the season is the evidence that the seed is God's seed. And number five, all other seeds will not be quickened to life by the word or light for that season, but will reject the word for the season, not the word, but the true understanding of that word. Now this morning we're going to look at number two. God has a word for each season that he sends like his rain, his doctrine, to produce the fruit for the season. From the way of a true prophet, Brother Branham said, and when this prophecy come forth, it seemed like that it would be the last thing that would ever happen. According to what this prophet said to them, it would be the last thing that could happen to them from the way he cursed that generation. But yet within 50 years, the kingdom was completely wiped off the earth. God speaks his word, and God's word is like a seed. And when it sowed, when that prophet coming with the word of the Lord and spoke those words, they had to come to pass if they were God's words. When the word of the Lord is anointed, and it is the word of the Lord, it's bound to take its place in its season. We can see it after thousands of years take place, its place today. It must do it because it's the word of the Lord and it cannot perish. Again, from trying to do God a service, he said, now, we find that God had a way of doing things, but David, just being blessed of God like he had to become king, he just thought that he would just do something for God anyhow. And he never went about it in the right way. We notice God reveals his word in his own predestinated season. How could Martin Luther have known about the message today? How could Presbyterians, how could the Catholic Church have known about Martin Luther's message? How could John Wesley have known about Luther's message? How could Wesley have known of the Pentecostal message? Or how could the Pentecostals have known of this message? See, he reveals it in his seasons because it is a seed. And as it grows and matures, he reveals himself. That's why Brother Brown said, Moses couldn't have come along preaching Noah's message. It wouldn't have worked. God gave a specific word, a specific promise for the day of Noah. And Noah was that seed of God to receive that seed. And Noah reflected that seed in that he built the ark. Along comes Moses, the same thing. God gave a specific word for that season that he would bring Israel out. Now, he had foretold it in Joseph. He said, when they leave, take my bones with me, or with you. And I don't want to be buried here. And we see God places the seed promise in his word for a season. Now, what he says today might be for a season tomorrow. You understand? What was said in the former rain is a seed planted for the latter rain to be manifested. All right. Again, from trying to do God a service, he said, now we find that God had a way of doing things, but David, from the Church Age book, he said, the Smyrna Church Age, he said, these elect were not only the eternal thoughts of God which were to be expressed in flesh in their due season, but these same elect are called by another name. In Romans 4:16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. In Romans 9:7-13, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of the promise, that at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, and he saith not as to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Galatians 3:29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. According to Romans 4:16, we find that God has given a sure promise to all of Abraham's seed. And Paul puts himself and all believers under this designation because he says, Abraham, who is the father of us all. Then he goes on to not only narrow down his definition, but rather to finalize it in Galatians 3, he identifies the seed singular with Jesus and counted the seed children as children of promise and promise as having to do with election or the choosing of God. And that is exactly what we have been saying. These who are the royal seed are the elect of God, are the predestinated foreknown of God, and were in the mind of God and his thoughts. In very plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally, though not expressed until each came forth in the designated decreed season. As each member came forth, it became expressed and took its place in the body. Thus, this bride is a literal spoken word seed bride. And though she is feminine in designation, she is also called the body of Christ. It is very apparent that she ought to be called that, for she was predestinated in him, came from the same source, was eternal with him, and is now manifesting God in many-membered body, whereas once God was manifested in one member, even our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. In Psalm 119 and 25, we read, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy right wiseness. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Quicken me after the loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of my mouth. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Great are the tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Consider how I loved thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. What's he talking about? He's talking about there, in his hour, he was looking at certain attributes and he wanted to be quickened to those attributes. working at the light of God for that season is to quicken the seeds that were ordained for the season. So we ask the question, why? He says, so that we might walk in His Word and come into manifestation of who we really are, sons and daughters of God Himself. The gene seed of God will come to fruition, and God's Word will not be sown and then come up empty in His predestined gene seed, because He is here to bring all of His Word to pass. From Philippians 1 and 6, we read, being confident of this very thing, that He which began the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And how does He perform it? Brother Brown said, from unrecognized presence, He said, working for this one purpose, for you to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ. See, if He is present, then everything is settled. He made the Word. He's here to confirm it. And then He said, if we could realize that He's appearing to us in these meetings for one purpose, and that's to release our desires that we have in Him back to us, but we've got to recognize His presence. Now, what if you know nothing of His presence? What if you call the parousia of Christ, the appearing of Christ, you call it garbage, you call it trash, you call it puke? What if you call the presence of God all these things because you think it's just somebody's doctrine? Do you really think you're quickened to the day and the hour in which you live? Then what? Then the promise is not for you. Oh my, but that is the truth, because that is what God's vindicated prophet taught us. You think God sent a teacher to teach us these things and then people spit them right back in His face and call it fanaticism and go their way? You think they will receive the promise of a change of the body if they are unwilling to die to self and they reject the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit in this hour? There are more than 2 million people claiming to believe God sent a prophet in this hour. But what good does it do any of them if they reject this message, the message that He brought, the message that He came for? Brother Brown said from that time, he said, how many knows there's a difference between the appearing and coming of Christ? It's two different words. Now is the appearing, the coming will soon be. He's appearing in the midst of us doing the works that He once did in His church. Now, you're a part of that church, and by grace you believe, and I'm a member of that church. Now, I'm not a preacher, you know I'm not. I have not the education to do it. Sometimes I feel reluctant standing here by men of God who's called to that office. There are apostles and prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. Not all are apostles, not all are prophets, not all are teachers, not all are evangelists. I am standing here, but my ministry is a different ministry from a pastor or a teacher. I'm not, and if I say things wrong, brethren, forgive me, I don't mean it, but this is my ministry, see, to declare Him that He is here. Now, how many churches that listen to tapes only are preaching that this is His ministry to declare Christ that He's here? I just like to, I'm not being mean or just, you know, I'm just asking a question. How many people do you know that will only listen to tapes and will not listen to a fivefold ministry understand that Brother Brown's ministry was to declare God, Godhead, and that He's here? In fact, Brother Brown said you can't get to first base without understanding it. Now, notice He tells us two things here. He says, this is my ministry to declare Him. That is Godhead. That is to declare God. And secondly, to declare that God is here. Again, from His sermon, Way to Have Fellowship, He said, but as my ministry is this, it just declares that God is here. And to reject His ministry is to reject the revelation of Jesus Christ and to reject the very presence of God. And notice Brother Ram taught us that what season that we're in. We are in the time of the appearing of Christ, which is before the coming of the Son of God, which we call the second coming. So we ought to know the promises then for the time of the appearing. And we see in the former rain, there is a teaching rain where the prophet will come and sow the seeds from Genesis to Revelation. From the Church Age book, Pergamian Church Age, Brother Brown said, now I want you to be very careful here and see this. God has promised that at the end time, Malachi 4 is going to be fulfilled. It has to be, for it is the Spirit quickened word of God spoken by the prophet Malachi. Jesus referred to it. It is just before Christ comes a second time. By the time Jesus comes, all Scripture must be fulfilled. The Gentile dispensation will be in the last church age when that messenger of Malachi comes. He will be right with the Word. He will take the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He will start at the serpent seed and carry on to the messenger in the latter rain, but he will be rejected by the denominations. And from end time evangelism, he said, now, but what did the prophet saw that he said, I will restore that tree, saith the Lord? She started back in the Reformation. What did she do? She organized. God pruned her like St. John 14. Cut all the organization off of it. And she come back to Wesley, and she organized. And he pruned her off. I will restore. She's still coming. Now, what does he do? In the evening time, there will not be an organization. There will be a top. Where does the fruit ripen at first? In the top. Why? The sun hits it. And in the evening time, the seeds are planted now for an evening time bride tree, when the tree of life returns back to the bride tree. You see, and the evening time has come out now to water and ripen that fruit that's been in the tree that's been planted. The seeds are sowed. See, the evening time. So the evening time evangelism will be the mark of Malachi 4 to restore the faith of the people back to the faith of the fathers. Yes, sir, back to the building stones. Amen. Now, if the former rain and the latter rain are to come at the end time, and yet Brother Branham said the former rain was actually in Paul's day to the Jews. Notice that they says then at the end there will be the former and the latter rain, right? Now, if this is in fact what he's saying, then it was necessary that Brother Branham preach Paul's message. He said, I'm not preaching anything but what Paul preached. That's what he said. And the people said, we're counting on that, Brother Branham. So Brother Branham was preaching the one voice, which was Paul. Same voice that was in Paul was in William Branham. Same voice that was in Paul is in any true fivefold ministry, because in the Church Age book, he said Paul was a pattern for all true ministries of God. Now, notice he says, here is what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction is that each species will bring forth after its own kind, according to Genesis 1:11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Whatever life was in the seed came forth into a plant, and thence into fruit. The very same law applies to the church today. Whatever seed started the church will come forth and be like the original seed, because it is the same seed. In these last days, the true bride church, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone, and she will be the super church, a super race, as she nears him. They and the bride will be so much like him that they will even be in his very image. This is in order to be united with him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Denominations cannot produce this wrong seed. They will produce their creeds and their dogmas mixed with the word. Now listen. This is all Romans 8, he's telling us. They and the bride will be so much like him that they will be even in his very image. That's Romans 8, 29. Mm-hmm. This is in order to be united to him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation. That's Romans 8 and verse 15 to 19, the manifestation of the sons of God. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Now look, this is exactly what Paul taught us in Romans 8, because it speaks of conforming to the image of the Son of God, and it speaks of coming into the manifestation as sons of God. In closing, we see in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10, 4 to 10, Paul says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, and I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is to be given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift or spiritual endowment, waiting for the season, waiting for the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm, who shall establish you, who shall vindicate you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. For God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Well, if we're all speaking the same thing, then there's just one voice.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You understand? Now notice, he will confirm you or vindicate you to be the word seed by fertilizing the predestinated gene seed. This thought on seed is the best and simplest explanation of predestination that I know, because the seed has everything about it already predetermined in it. Its growth rate, its response to the light, its full manifestation of its attributes and characteristics are already in it by predestination. When you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got everything that you will ever need to have rapturing faith. Not only did Brother Branham teach that, but Brother Vail taught that. From Deuteronomy 11:14, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Notice he says these will come in a due season, the season that they are due. From end time, seed time. Brother Bram said, now we said in the last days, Joel told us the other part of the scripture, listen close now, that there would be a former and latter rain in the same season. How many Christians know that? Say amen, sure. What? Now the other day, to my surprise when I looked, former and latter rain would come in the same season. Now the word former in the Hebrew word, get your Hebrew lexicon and find out the Hebrew word for former means mora. Mora means teaching. There will come a teaching rain. What is it? Putting the seeds into the earth. What's that? What's going on? Well, we find out that there has been a teaching rain going on. The Baptist people, a million more in 44, was their goal. Members of the church, Billy Graham, great revivals, our great evangelist. Look what he done. Look at Oral Roberts and the Pentecostals. There's been a teaching rain going forth. There's been a national teaching rain of communists. Communism sowed among the people, every nation. There's been a Roman revival. Do you know what happened? If they give the western part or the western eastern part of Berlin back, that puts communism just as I mean the Roman Empire, just exactly in the old circle it was at the time of Jesus. Certainly it does perfectly. So you see all these things happening for a reason to be in their season. In Joel 2:23-29, we read, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month." And so I looked up that word month to see what it says. And actually, from the Amplified Bible, because Brother Branham says that the former rain, which we know is a teaching rain, was to the Jews, and then he tells us that at the end time we are to receive both the former rain and the latter rain. And in Joel, according to King James, it says, "And the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." But according to the Amplified Version, we read, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for it gives you, you children of Zion, the former or early rain in just measure and in righteousness. And he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain as before." So he's talking to the children of Zion. He says he gives you the former rain. But then he says, but at the end time he's going to give you the former rain and the latter rain as before. In other words, we receive the former rain as before and we see the latter rain. And then we read to the end of the chapter, we see the seed is fulfilled right up to the end time. "And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I..." Now, he's got to be here to do this. "I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the pawworm, my great army which I sent among you." Now, he can't restore if he's not here to restore. So the seed is for a season and the light, and his presence is here to bring the seed to full maturity. "And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people should never be ashamed." Now notice, you will know that I am in your midst, and you will know that I am the Lord your God. You will understand presence, you will understand Godhead, you will understand what it's all about. "And it shall come to pass afterward." When is afterward? Well, the first rain is the teaching rain, the sowing rain, but the afterwards rain, or the latter rain, is the seed coming to maturity. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." Notice, he says, your daughters, your sons, your old men are going to have dreams and visions and all these things. But upon mine, there's only one thing that I'm interested in, and that's giving them my spirit. From Hosea 6:1-3, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us, he hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days," that's 2,000 years, for a day of the Lord is 1,000 years to man. "After 2 days he will revive us, and in the third day," and listen, we are now in the 21st century since Christ came. So we are now in the third day. We're now in a new millennium. Now we're not to the millennium yet, as far as the place. But that's going to happen in this millennium. "In the third day he will raise us up." We're looking for that to happen. "And we shall live in his sight." You see, because he's going to take us away for 3.5 years, clean everything up for us, bring us back. "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. He shall come unto us as the rain. And listen, we've already seen that the rain is a doctrine, and we know that that is the doctrine of Christ. So therefore, Christ is the doctrine. Therefore, he, the doctrine, shall come unto us as the rain. Finally, in James 5:7-9, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the parousia of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be you also patient, and establish your hearts, for the parousia of the Lord cometh nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. So he's waiting for only one thing, and that's the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. That's John 14. That's the life of Christ in you. You live like him, you talk like him, you act like him, you speak like him. You do the works he did. As far as in prayer. Gracious Father, we're just asking you, Lord, to help us to die to ourselves. Help us to go through all the stages, Father, of Romans 8. First, dying to self, becoming selfless, totally fixated and focused upon you, totally obedient to you, that our motives and our objectives are only to please you. Then we know, Father, as you fill us with your Spirit, it's the Spirit of adoption, that having your seed life in us, you're now waiting for the maturity. And maturity comes from laying in the presence of the Son to ripen. And Father, we know that this will all take place as we approach this harvest season. It'll get us ready for the placement, the positioning, the change of the body, the adoption itself. Help us to understand the day and hour in which we live, the season for which we've been placed here as seeds. And may we be in tune with the word for this season. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, you see why it is important, I believe, to focus on God's promise for the season in which we live. And